So welcome. Welcome to the Foreign Affairs and Portuguese Communities Commission from the Portuguese Parliament. I'm Vice President of the Commission. Today I'm here leading this meeting that you request. I'm also a member of the Parliament for Iniciativa Liberal. It's a liberal party, not liberal as in the United States. In your mindset, is more like a libertarian party there, okay? So you can see my mindset. We have here also representatives from the Social Democratic Party, from the Popular Party, and from Chega. They will say something about them, out of determination. I will not talk with them. Socialist Party and Livre. They will say who they are and how they think. We are here more to hear what you have to say and to share with us than to hear. So I will pass to also Portuguese, David, and thank you for your request this meeting.
No, I want to first say thank you. My Portuguese, I wish my Portuguese was good enough to carry a meeting like this, mas para ter uma conversa com pessoas assim, mais importante, é mais difícil ter uma conversa em coisas só é mais importante que a gente todos entende, só é a razão que eu vou falar inglês. Eu creio que vocês todos sabem falar bastante inglês para ter uma conversa. So, the opportunity for us to be here. Center Forward is a group of Republicans and Democrats that have come here, and they have opportunities to travel different parts of the world, and it's to build these types of relationships. And so this group here, we have a group of Republicans, Democrats, we're all mixed in, we'll all introduce ourselves in different committees. I'm in my fifth term in Congress, so that's my 10th year. I serve on the Appropriations Committee, which is we appropriate dollars. Obviously, my parents are Portuguese, immigrated from Terceira in the late 60s, early 70s. And that's just a little bit about myself, but our opportunity here is just to continue the dialogue and continue to grow our relationship. And then my partner here in crime is Eric Swalwell.
Hello. Thank you so much for hosting. My name is Eric Swalwell. I represent a district in the San Francisco Bay Area, not too far from where David is, with a very large Portuguese diaspora. My grandmother's last name is Cabral. She's from the Azores, and a part of the migration to Hawaii before Hawaii was a state, and interested in just learning about how you all view Ukraine, NATO, EU stability right now, and also just to share with you, if you don't hear it enough, that Francisco, your ambassador to the United States, is just top-notch and really represents you well. In Washington.
I need to interrupt with just one positive. That's three ambassadors in a row that are Benfica fans. I knew I was going to make someone in the group mad.
Well, hello, I'm Haley Stevens. I come from Michigan, Detroit, very strong automotive sector. So I'm interested in trade, making sure you replace every one of your vehicles with one of our big three, but no, in all seriousness, with our supply chain in particular, you know, we have a lot of European companies who have a big presence in my district. And when I think about our grand competition with China, and it has been such a delight to be in your country and hear about the seriousness and the commitment that you share alongside us to follow rules-based order into the mid-21st century, as we're about to hit the quarter 21st century. And so, you know, we see this through the moonshot of new mobility structures, autonomous electric vehicles. We're on the heels of passing some pretty enormous climate legislation in the United States, but it was also industrial policy. And what we've done with chips, what we seek to do with rare earth minerals, and certainly ways in which we can advance our nation's trade opportunities to continue to compete with China as effectively as possible. So thank you so much. It's a real honor to be here. My mother's been my guest. And of course, only the Portuguese bring together Democrats and Republicans from all over the country. So we root for your football team.
Hi, everyone. I'm Susie Lee. I represent Las Vegas. Most people know where that is. I'm happy to be here. I'm here with my daughter. I serve on the Appropriations Committee as well as the Natural Resources Committee. Water is a huge issue in my district. Nuclear waste disposal is another big issue. I know we just had lunch with the Minister of the Economy and Reich, and the desire to attract data centers. We also house our nation's largest data center in my district as well. So it's great to be here. Thank you for your hospitality.
I'm Jake LaTurner from Kansas. This is my first trip to Portugal. Beautiful so far, lovely trip. Thank you for hosting us. I'm curious, what political party are you?
Conservative.
Conservative, okay, all right. That's what I was, that was my question.
Very conservative.
Very conservative.
The conservative is this one.
We are the traditional right-wing party.
Understood. Okay. You're more of a freedom caucus member. Yeah. Understood. Understood. Thank you very much for the hospitality.
You sit on the appropriations, very important appropriations committee. Andrew Garbarino from New York. Very happy to be here. I serve on the Financial Services Committee, Homeland Committee, where I chair the Committee on Cybersecurity, which I know we are two countries work a lot together on, share a lot of information on. And, you know, as my colleague and I, we both sit on the Committee on Ethics, so we have to judge all these other members and make sure they don't do anything wrong.
Hi, Dave Joyce. I'm from Ohio. I'm also a member of the Appropriations Committee. I'm the chairman of the Financial Service and General Governance and a member of the Defense as well as the Transportation, Highway, and Urban Development Committee. So look forward to having a discussion with you on how we can better achieve our goals together.
Good morning. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Jimmy Panetta from the Central Coast of California. My first visit to Portugal, was fortunate enough to be able to bring my wife and daughter here as well, and they're out enjoying the sights of Lisbon and the people of Lisbon. So thank you for this opportunity. I sit on the Ways and Means Committee, the Armed Services Committee, and the Budget Committee in the United States Congress. And so look forward to having a fruitful conversation going forward. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Linda Sanchez. I represent a district in Los Angeles, California, home of Hollywood. You might have heard of it. I'm in my 11th term in Congress. I serve on the Ways and Means Committee. I work on issues related to tax and trade. I also serve as a vice president of one of the committees in NATO Parliamentary, so work with some of your counterparts there. Very interested in that relationship with respect to mutual defense and some mutual challenges that we see lying ahead in the future. But appreciate the hospitality, and I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. I'm Buddy Carter from the state of Georgia. I have the honor and privilege of representing the entire coast of Georgia on the Atlantic coast with two major seaports, the port of Savannah, the number three container port in the country, and the port of Brunswick, the number two roll-on, roll-off port in the country in terms of cars and trucks. I also serve on the Budget Committee in Congress, but also the Energy and Commerce Committee. Specifically, I chair the subcommittee on environment, manufacturing, and critical materials. So I'm very interested, obviously, in critical minerals and what you're doing in that area and what you have to offer. So thank you for having us here. It's been a delightful trip thus far.
Okay, beside the five parties that are here represented by members, our parliament also have three more parties. The Left Bloc, the Communist Party, and PAN, that is Animals and Nature Party, something like that. I think here is someone from the Communist Party also, not from the other two. So beside the five here, there's one more here that is present here today.
Are you the chair?
No, I'm the vice president of the Foreign Affairs and Portuguese Communities Commission. And I'm the vice president of the commission. We are also
during the coalition?
No, the coalition in the government is between PSD and the CDS-PP. It's not a coalition with majority in the parliament. So the results when we are debating proposals are being very strange. Depends on the day. No, the presidents of the commissions, we have 14 commissions here. The presidents, it's only PSD, PS, and Chega, because it's proportional delivered, the decision. And then all the other parties have at least one vice president in the 14 commission. Two vice presidents.
230 total members.
230. No, the majority is 116.
But didn't some abstain to form the government?
They formed the government, but without majority in the parliament.
You still need 116 to pass
something. To pass something. So you have sometimes like the extreme left voting with the extreme right. So
that happens to us too.
So it's like that. But regarding foreign affairs, even at this stage, our parliament have 8 parties representing. In terms of foreign affairs, historically, there's a huge consensus in Portugal regarding the parties. We have 3 axes in external politics: Europe, obvious; Atlantic, obvious; and also the Lusophony. So all the countries that speak Portuguese, it's the 3 axes of our foreign affairs, and there's a huge consensus on external politics. Regarding NATO also, regarding European Union, regarding support of Ukraine, huge consensus, more than the party's popular support to Ukraine. There are several reasons for that. One, for example, is that like 20 years ago, we receive a lot of people from Ukraine, like 20 years ago, and it's like a case study of integration in Portugal. So the Portuguese people have very good feelings about Ukraine being in Portugal. So since the day one in Portugal, the support to Ukraine was amazing. I will pass the word to my colleagues if they want to share something. But in one extreme and go to the other, okay?
Thank you very much.
I don't resist, sorry.
Well, as you understood, we are the Conservative Party in Portugal. They are democratic, Christian Democrats. We indeed want to welcome you all in our country. And as we don't have so much time, many things to tell, but I just say that it's very good to have you here. Have a nice stay, and I hope it will be successful.
It's a long list of topics. I would start by economy. They usually take some positions we do not support in terms of taxes, for instance. Okay. They want to tax big companies, they want to tax banks, they want, yeah, that's right, they are.
As an extraordinary measure in some situations.
If I could put it in the way we understand it, please correct me if I'm wrong, that's the populist party.
Yes.
Am I correct?
I would say so.
Okay. Okay.
That's the percentage.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Exactly.
I would say so.
Exactly. Thank you.
Anyway, I'm from CDS, PP. We are the true conservatives. We are also Christian Democratic
almost
Party.
Left.
Christian Democratic Party. We have very good relationships. Okay, sorry. We have very good relationships with the Republican Party through IDU, the International Democratic Union, also with some institutes that are foundations that are near the Republican Party. I'm the leader of our parliamentary group here in the Parliament, and I'm also a member of the Budget Committee, Education Committee, Economy Committee and Foreign Affairs Committee. I'm part of these four committees here in Parliament. As Rodrigo mentioned before, we with PST support, we're currently supporting the Portuguese government, but as you understood already, we are talking about a hang parliament, so the parties supporting the government have no majority, and therefore it's not easy to support the government in these terms. And of course, I'm happy to discuss some of the topics with you later on. CDSPP. Okay. PST. Okay.
Hi, my name is Bruno Ventura. I'm a member of the Social Democratic Party, which is the party, the major party of the government coalition. We believe we are the party that believes in individual freedom, open economy, that kind of values. We know that for you it's a little bit strange that we have a socialist party and a communist party elected and sometimes in government, but don't care, it's not like the American view. The socialist party ruled the last 8 years, and we're still a democracy, and we still have individual freedom.
Is your party like a center-right?
Yeah, we are a center-right party. Yeah, that's true. So, special welcome to Congressman Valadeo. I used to meet you at FLOD when I was a director there. So our party is aware of our Portuguese community, how strong they are in the New England area, in the East Coast, or in California, in the West Coast. About the issues that you raised, let me tell you that we are also aware of your national strategic document that came out in March 2022. We know the American concerns about the global threat that China can represent, the regional threat that you identified as Russia, the challenge of climatic transition and how it can be a tricky issue, how China deal with it. We are aware of that. So about those issues and about NATO, it's very interesting because in about 2015, 2016, when came the American election, the debate was either we need or not to support NATO. I think that we are discussing today how can we reinforce NATO, and our party believes that. And our party believes we are members of PPN, European Union, mm-hmm. an organization that believes that we need to strengthen in the European continent our defense industry. Because we have now a regional threat, and we have to recognize without the United States, the situation now will be much difficult. Okay, so no doubts about our position on Russia and on Ukraine issue.
And about NATO.
I think NATO is quite consensus in Portugal. Maybe the Communist Party, the left bloc, doesn't believe that we should belong there, but all the parties here, I think they fully believe that that we should belong there. So we're here to help to change some opinions. We look forward to hear your perspective about what's happening, and we welcome you very much. Okay.
So sorry. Hello. Everyone, my name is João Rebelo. I'm a member of the parliament from the Socialist Party, so center-left party, as you can realize now. I belong in the Foreign Affairs Commission, but also in the European Affairs Commission. Of course, I'm very glad to host your delegation, and our party very glad to you to be here. We have a permanent bilateral committee in the States with Portugal. Of course, we keep in touch with the discussions that we have there. Of course, we are aware of the importance that our relation have in Açores, for example. Actually, I'm not from Açores, but I have family living there. I recognize the importance that our relation in the matter of Açores have to our countries, of course. Very glad also to hear that your compliment about our ambassador in the States, Francisco Duarte Lopes. Actually, I know him quite well. I serve in the government for the last in the socialist government that we have in the last 8 years. I was 6 years Secretary of State for Youth and Sport, so I used to go to the United Nations to the Social Forum for Youth and met very lots of times with Francisco Duarte Lopes. Of course, being a socialist party, our commitment with the human rights and international law, of course, is very, very, very strong. We are very we are supporting, of course, Ukraine, as you in the States are also. But I must say that we are very, very much concerned about the situation in the Middle East, and about Israel and Palestine. I would like also, if possible, to hear something about it from you. Finishing, I shall say that I'm from Sporting Club of Portugal, and in case you don't know, we are actually champions in Portugal. So we respect Benfica, but Sporting is the actual champion. Thank you.
At last, some controversy. We have to go to. So my name is Rui Tavares. I'm from Livre, which means free in English, and it's a green left party, actually, literally to the left of the socialists. It's a member of the European Green Party, so the pan-European party that you have in government in Germany, for instance. In a past life, I was in the European Parliament. I was a founder of the Progressive Caucus there. So maybe if there are some Progressive Caucus members here, it will be more or less the same thing. And I used to work and be for long periods in the United States amongst Portuguese communities there, teaching in universities in New England, in Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and where I met many of the Luso-Americans that usually refer to the Azorians in the New England coast, usually refer to the Azorians in California as being the ones that are in America de Cima, which means the ones that went, you know, had to cross the Rockies. So, and near the coast, it was America de Baixo, you know, lower America and the higher America. So I have a deep appreciation for, you know, the contribution that the Azorians took to the United States and other Portuguese, of course, and what this still means for us and for the future of American Portuguese relations. I remember meeting, you probably met him as well, David Simas, who's now at the Obama Foundation from Taunton, Massachusetts, yeah. And also not from Terceira, I think his family's from São Miguel, but well, still nobody's so perfect. Yeah. But so our main topics here will be kind of Green New Deal topics in the Portuguese Parliament. We are very much a pro-European party, meaning that we are in favor of European Union integration, one could say even almost at what one could say almost a federalist spectrum from the pro-European point of view. So very much pro-Ukraine, but also pro the two-state solution in the Middle East. And we have tomorrow we will host a debate here at the plenary of our parliament on the recognition of Palestinian independence. So this is the kind of concerns and topics that we have, and very happy to meet you and to engage in this, to be able to foster these relationships with the American Congress.
Okay, now as a liberal MP, just to say, as I said in the beginning, the Portuguese Liberal Party, regarding the U.S. mindset, is more a libertarian party, so we are for economic freedom, political freedom, and social freedom, individual freedom. We are recognized by two major flags. The first is all tax issues, less taxes, obvious, and free trade. in the other end, the human rights. And inside this flag, we are being very vocal regarding China. When it was known, a report about the informal police squads of China, we were the ones here pressing the government with that issue in the parliament. And now we are pressing the new government to stop the acquisition of Chinese scanners for our seaports. And two examples in how we look to China has a huge problem. Let me resume, this is the Liberal Party. When it takes economic, everybody say we are a right party. When it takes to individual and social issues, everybody say that we are a left party. So we are very pleased with that. We are liberals, as we used to say. Center, right, left, we are liberals. On a European perspective, we are members of the ALDE party, that is a European party. And now we have two MEPs in the European Parliament elected in the last elections. And in the European Parliament, we will belong to the Renew parliamentary group in the European Parliament. I don't know if you have something to say. If you want to say, we have 5 minutes more, and then we have the plenary session. I think we all would like to hear something about Ukraine, NATO, or Israel. As you heard from us, it will be something that we will like to hear from you.
Well, I want to hit on that, but I want to hit on something that's, I think, both countries are going through, and that's the rise of populism, because I think that will affect how we dictate our policies domestically but internationally as well. And so I'd love to get your take on why the Chega party has now 50 seats in the parliament, 18% of the vote. Although Portugal's booming, your GDP is growing, tourism's popular, tech trade, your tech industry is growing. There's a lot of content economically, but there's some discontent there that I think led to the riot vote. And you see it in our country as well. And so I'd love to get your take, is if that's the right conclusion, that there's sort of, as we see in our country, a vibe session, as they call it, even though people are doing okay economically, there's still something not right, be it the scandal that plagued the last president or the prime minister, or the immigration issues that you're facing as well. What's going on that led to, and I want to hear from them, and then you can respond, but I'd love to hear what's going on in Portugal, despite the success that you've had lately, why there was a rise of this populist sentiment.
Yeah, I can say very quickly, of course, you know, we could spend the whole afternoon speaking
exactly
about that. But you got it right that you have populists rising in countries where the economy is booming or not. Some people will say, well, it's because we don't have a welfare state like, you know, Sweden or the Netherlands used to have, but they do have that welfare state and they still have populists. You go to Brazil, which is a country that has a huge importance for Portugal and also a huge cultural and even political influence. And you see that they have also had Bolsonaro there. I think the explanation that I've heard that has been the most compelling, that I found the most compelling, is cultural backlash. It's mostly around cultural wars issues. Of course, all Europeans feel that the European continent is somewhat in a kind of a decline, in a dangerous war world, also with a war in the continent. And if Europeans are afraid of the future, some of them will try to just, you know, long for a past that was that they feel was better. So it's up to us, politicians of all stripes, to renew the political discourse with new, I call them, objects of political desire. New stuff for people to strive for. And unfortunately, the last decades have been mostly about managing decline. And that's not mobilizing enough for the electorates. But I'll stop here, otherwise I would never stop. So better to just leave it at that.
trying to keep it short also, but it took us not only the afternoon, but maybe the next days also discussing these matters. Keep it simple, stupid. It was KISS. I had a teacher in a high school that usually remembered us. Keep it simple, stupid. KISS strategy. And I think we live in a world that opened very space to the simplicity of the message. Of course, things in politics can't be easily explained. Some things in politics can't be easily explained. And now I'm not against, but I have a relation with... I get very suspicious about social networks, okay, social media. So I think the bad information, all of that, I'm not going to spend much more time with it, because the idea is, after the Second World War, the world, in all the world, we've seen social rights becoming effectively in most of the Occidental countries. And in Portugal, what I feel is that there are lots of people saying, my father lived better than my grandfather, I'm still living better than my father, but I'm afraid that my son and my daughter are not going to live so better than I live. So this, of course, gets to people being discontent about the situation, and not, and then the populism rise, of sure. course.
You put me in the difficult position because I'm not an analyst, and sometimes I must fight them. So what I'll have, what can I say about it without compromising anything? So I do think it's about insecurity, free insecurities. Economic insecurity, what my colleague told me. We are afraid of living worse than our fathers, and we're more afraid that our sons live worse than us. Second, culture insecurity. So with migration movement, people still, we are living in our country or not, and they exploit that very effectively. And third, physical insecurity. That's why the Chega party and their partners in Europe, they all defend, Chega doesn't go so far, but their partners in Europe do. Most of them are against the EU. Most of them are in favor of the return of the borders, something physical that delivers security. So I think it's about insecurity. And I also think it's about, we are victims of our own success. So our democracy were built in majority by the Socialist Party and our party. And the three big issues that was our historical mission to deliver a solution about employment, public education, a healthcare system, with something good or bad, but we delivered it. So people now want, it's natural, it's about development, want something different, more. And try to identify in alternatives some of this. And I think it's about it. It's about those issues.
Thank you. Quickly, I'm not comfortable about talking about extreme right without talking also about extreme left, because both are populists, both are extremists, both are radicals. And we cannot speak about one without talking about the other. Quickly, if the government performs well, if the government is able to solve the social and economic issues of the population, I would say that we'll see, or the populace will reduce influence in Portugal and in Europe. That's it. Okay?
Well, I believe we can resume this to one thing, and it is the divorce from the traditional parties and the people. Traditional parties are at this moment living a fairy tale, a world of their own. We are still with our feet in the ground, and people want this. Basically, it's this in every matter.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's very similar issues in our country as well.
Can I address the NATO question that you all had with respect to the United States? I think if you look at the vote for support for Ukraine, it was overwhelming. Majority of Congress supported that. It was the internal mechanisms of governance that slowed that down, and I think that did not do a lot of favors for our image in Europe. But I think the support for Ukraine was very strong and is still very strong. I think Biden administration, if you listen to the speeches at the commemoration, very strong Ukraine support. I think that still exists for the most part in Congress. There is a small group that agitates against helping Ukraine, but it's a minority in the Congress.
Very loud minority.
Very loud minority, yes. And I think, you know, the NATO parliamentary delegation that we have, which is made up of Democrats and Republicans, very united in that we need to push back on Russia's aggression, and we need to build our alliance out and make it stronger than ever in order to assure everybody's mutual defense, in addition to looking to the future and some of the challenges that we see with countries like China as well. Yeah.
Ed, I think, you know, everybody saw the delay in the support for Ukraine from the U.S. Yeah. That came because of, I think, the speaker, our own internal battles. And as Linda said, when the final vote came this year, there was a vast majority for it. The delay was not, I think it was solely due to a minority of members who caused this delay But for that, we would have shown our support much earlier. And I think no matter which, and I think I can speak for the people at the table, whichever administration will take over in January, or whether it's the current administration or a new administration, Congress, there's still a major support for NATO participation in Congress amongst both parties.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think it's important to address that. And we see this at home all the time. Where there's 435 members of Congress, there's 100 senators, there's 535, but the majority of the world and even the majority of our constituents only know maybe 10 or 15 of them. And those seem to be really loud voices, but like I think my colleagues are pointing out, the vast majority of us really do get along and find a lot of issues, but we have that, what you have now, that's such a tight majority that it doesn't take a whole lot to derail important policies anymore, and it's frustrating for a lot of us.
Okay. I will suggest taking a picture, everybody in that side, and we have here something for the group.